Are you, Miss?
Well, actually, I'm here for a project that I thought was going to be on the calendar, on the agenda, but it's not. It's for a restaurant called La Serenita Restaurant. I was supposed to be agendized for today, and it appears I have not been. I spoke with a gentleman named Quirinos.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I've been literally swamped by so much stuff. But we could talk about because I'm totally sorry. But we'll bring it to your attention.
All right.
Okay. So
sorry, Quirino, I have to head out of here around 8:35 because I have to be at the airport like at 9:15.
So okay.
I mean, that gives us like 35, 40
minutes. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So you could introduce yourself. I guess everybody knows who he is.
I met most of the folks last time, but Rogelio Navar, the VP of Land Development with California Home Builders. We're a San Fernando-based local builder and developer and property owner. We've been building multifamily as well as single-family communities throughout the San Fernando Valley for about 20 or so years. I'm really glad that a lot of you folks came to show that you're passionate about your community, and that's always a good thing. Just by way of background, I wanted to get an idea of sort of where the Valerio Village was. So I just brought a map, so I'm trying to orient myself in terms of where our property is and where the village is, just to get a feel for it.
Where are you at?
I guess the little thumb tack here, the yellow one, that's the property.
We're at the end of that block.
Valerio's going this way?
On the left?
No, sorry. This is Woodman, and this is Valerio, and this is
Okay, Lenin. This is all of us.
So,
this one, got it. Enormous, beautiful, green, luscious,
full of trees.
Center courtyard of calm and peace.
People come over, they say, my God, it's like a spa. It's not beautiful.
It's a substantial portion, but these other folks are representing other areas.
Okay, mm-hmm. And you live right adjacent to the property as well, right? Or have
well, they own the property. Adjacent
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 feet away.
Okay.
I have four properties 30 feet away.
Okay.
Never received a notice.
So, as part of these site plan review filing with the city, we're actually required to, not us, but the city, we pay a fee to the city, and they're supposed to send out within a 300 square foot radius a notice to all the owners and owner occupants. So mm-hmm. that's they're required to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Is that a public hearing or a public notice?
It's a public notice. I mean, we pay the fee. We pay the fee. We pay it to BTC, which is the authorized agent for the city that disseminates information on different public different case filings.
Mm-hmm.
So that should have gone out. So I can check with the case planner to see why some of you didn't get it. But
and when was it supposed to
have
gone out?
None of us got it.
You paid for this
months ago.
That notice is only for the
public
hearing.
Is everybody supposed to be notified, or is it
It's only within 300.
No, and that's why we're...
I'm within the 500
feet. It's only within, for site plan review cases, it's within 300 feet. Because this is a director-initiated case, site plan review doesn't have a public hearing, but they still have to send out that notice to the residents and inform any of what's being filed.
Residents or the owners?
It's owners and occupants. So it's both.
You have to have a radius map made, right? So
yeah.
is your consultant, am I correct? Mm. Who creates radius map, or is it
whatever's 300 within 300
No, but I mean you hired somebody to create a radius map
and they review it and they say okay that meets it, and you have the addresses for all the owners and occupants. So
mm-hmm.
But that being said, our project we're proposing is it's an 86-unit multifamily residential building. It's four stories. It's one story of parking, ground floor, three stories above. Just by way of background, we actually today could build, because we have an approval for it, a four-story, 61-unit condo building or apartment building. So that we could build today at the 45-foot height limit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to incorporate some affordability, so somebody last time thought it was all low-income housing, which it's not. But we are providing 7 very low-income units, which will be spread out throughout the building. Housing requires that. And so just because we know, you know, rents are significant, well, they're getting expensive citywide. Part of the reason is, you know, there's not enough adequate housing. But I just wanted to bring some, because I actually drove the site last week and then drove it again and took some pictures and actually went on Google and took some. And so this one, you can pass it around, but this, maybe I can show it here. But this is the site, this is our property here, which is vacant and been vacant for many years now. And this building, which is Valerio, sorry, this street is Valerio. This building right next to us is currently a 3-story building. I know, I guess the village is behind it, and I believe it's a 2-story.
Just down the street. Yeah. We're joining it. We're here.
Okay.
This is us here.
So this is the 3-story building that's right next to us, our site. And then just on the other side of, you can pass this around. I mean, you know the area better than I do. So, and then just on the other side, this is Leadwell. And there's another 3-story building that's been there. I'm not sure how long it's been there, but it's been there for a while.
Is this the POV from your land? So meaning your land's here, and that's the POV at the angle?
No, this is...
That's your land.
No, this is a...
That's another property.
That's another property that's around our L-shaped lot.
Got it.
So this is the one viewing this. I mean, somebody can may own it. And then, as you all know, next to Ralph's, there's a...
6 years.
50-story building.
50-story.
Wow. Sorry, not downtown. 50-foot building, which was recently completed a couple
of years ago. Yeah, next to
the Ralphs.
It's absolutely away from our charming community. It's by Ralphs. And right.
It's west of Ralphs on Sherman Way.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's really...
I just only highlight that to highlight that in terms of scale and depth of the building, there are already, you know, a couple of 3-story buildings nearby, or actually right next to us, are to be basically one floor higher.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get, you know, some people like the more modern, you know, design in terms of color and scheme. The planning department really liked it. They thought it was architecturally sort of interesting, and it had a lot of articulation, which we thought was good. You know, in terms of the color scheme or something, that's something that, you know, mm-hmm. potentially we could talk to or talk about. But
yeah, discuss. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we're not necessarily wedded to the colors, but, you know, in terms of the articulations.
Yeah, so you made the changes during the progress of time, because I actually saw the original, and it looked like sort of a 70s version of an apartment building.
Yeah, I think that was one for the 61-unit one. So,
yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
We did make some additional, and we've been making revisions with the planner for the city. They asked us to provide more landscaping, more buffering. They wanted to make sure that we had, you know, the bike parking was actually located where it was close and accessible to the public streets. And, you know, we get into a conversation sort of about height and about density. And sort of, you know, as you're looking at how LA's building out, you know, one of the reasons why the SB 1818, the density bonus ordinance mm-hmm. was passed, was twofold. One was to create more, basically incentivize developers to incorporate in their market rate projects some level of affordability. In addition, it was also to give them a certain buy right incentive for density alone. So just in terms of, you know, the 35% density bonus that we're asking for, that's actually buy right. State law, it gives it to you, the city gives it to you by way of the state law. We are asking for that, you know, 4 or 5, or I know it says 56 feet in the application, which I get sounds very, very high considering everything else is maybe 30 feet there at the highest, or 32, but we're only going up to 51 feet. So right now the height limit is 45 in the zone, which is R3, and actually check, nobody did a zone change. This whole area has been zoned R3, and I brought this from
CMS. I understand that.
You know, it's been R3, you know, well.
Can I comment on that R3 situation? Okay. That area, that one street there got R3. All of my properties got down to RD1.5.
Mm-hmm.
The system stole 15 to 20% of my property value mm-hmm. for about 25 years, paid me nothing for it. Mm-hmm. They also put me in rent control, which dropped my value by 15 to 20%. Check the realtors around, rent control, non-rent control, different values, totally ripping me off.
So
I'm restricted to build
So if I can interject, I mean, anything that was built before 1978 is rent controlled. I mean, that's not our fault. You know, we didn't do that. That's a city ordinance and law. That's in terms of the RD 1.5, I mean, I see big swatches of land that are RD 1.5. We just happen to be in one that's R3, so that's no fault of our own.
I happen to be all R3 for years and years before you were born, R3. And they stole it from me.
They downzoned it.
And also, I'm not as active as you are, but I find it very uneasy about you being able to not... I have to provide a certain amount of parking. You provide less. You get to build more density. I have to build less.
Just to address your question, once again, the density bonus provides certain parking reductions. That's once again provided by law. The bike parking ordinance that the city passed about 3 or so years ago that went into effect, and I don't have the ordinance number with me, but it's you have to incorporate it into your new multifamily products.
Mm-hmm. And it's shown in most of the new development.
And so the rationale and thought process behind that on a policy level, which was supported by most people, was we want to discourage folks from driving their car. We're a very car-centric, car-based city. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Especially if you grew up in the East Coast or spend time there, or even in Northern California. And so the thought was to let's decrease our reliance on the car, let's increase our bike parking. And with that, they provide certain incentives in the ordinance so that if you provide, for example, we're doing one bike parking space per unit, so it's 86 bike parking spaces. Mm-hmm. So that alone took away 4 car spaces we could have had, but it also gives you, by that ordinance, a reduction in 10%. In your required parking. So we're basically doing everything that's required by code. Just to add lastly, we're about maybe 1.5 miles miles from the Orange Line, mm-hmm. Or so, which is great. And it's a great, transit, mass transit option that wasn't available a while back. I still think we should have gotten, above grade stops.
Yeah, but, rail line. Yeah.
But, that's a higher conversation than I can have. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to come in here as a courtesy. It's good to have the dialogue.
Do you green construction on this as well?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because our building does have a lot of environmentally friendly elements. So we're incorporating drought-resistant landscaping. We have low VOC paint and finishes. We obviously have to incorporate, low-flush toilets, the sinks, you have to be basically conserve water. Our plumbing fixtures are also designed to reduce water. We have energy efficient appliances in all the units. We have our HVAC system, which is energy efficient and actually utilizes programmable thermostats. So when you're out, you can set it at 78 or 80 rather than have it on all day. So there's a bunch of elements. We also have natural ventilation in the surface parking lot. So rather than having it air conditioned or cooled, you have the natural wind that's coming in and keeping it at a decent or temperate level.
I think you said you had a timeline to leave, and I want to interject. We're talking about weeds, but we're not talking about why all this is happening. In our state, we have 2 carbon laws, and one of them, SB 375, directly impacts development and land use. We have AB 32, which is an overall carbon reduction goal that we have to meet. What they're doing and what the city planners are making them do with the bikes and all the green building and ordinances are to comply with the state law that is SB 375, the Sustainable Community Strategy. And what it is that the priority of development in California has changed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And CEQA has changed to reduce reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we have moved CEQA from a level of service paradigm to a reduction of greenhouse gas emission paradigm called vehicle miles traveled, and we won't go into the details now. But there's an overriding discussion that is wasting everybody's time, and I don't want to waste anyone's time anymore. State law trumps all of this. So while he's dealing with it in the weeds and he's explaining these things to you, some of these things are not our choice anymore.
Correct.
Some of these things are no longer up to us anymore because in our state we have a carbon cap and trade law. And as developers, they have to meet state requirements. Mm-hmm. One of those, as he said, is the reduction of autocentricity. It is mass transit, smart growth, and it's our law. And right now, we have like $130 million of cap and trade money allocated for affordable housing for the entire state. That's the cost of one house in LA. That's not going to be enough. But by 2020, there's going to be $8 billion of cap and trade money coming into the stream. So he can only give you so much, and you only have so much, because at the end of the day, we all have to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, which were not enforced and not the laws when your buildings were built or when you became landlords. So I just want to level set. I'm not on anyone's team or anyone's side. And also with regard to SB 1818, there's an active movement, the Westchester Neighborhood Council and also in Manchester, to change that law. It has had unintended consequences. With regard to his project, it is too late, and it's approved, and it's not going to affect his project. He is under SB 1818. He doesn't have a choice. We don't have a choice. If some of these things are bothersome to you, there's neighborhood councils that are actively, point of information only. I'm not advocating for any neighborhood council, just point of information. Contact the Westchester Neighborhood Council. They're working with Mike Bonin and Paul Koretz, who actually was the assembly member who voted against SB 1818. So I'm not attacking you on it.
Anyway.
I just want to inform everybody about the law. There is an active movement. We need to change it because housing affordability, this has had a net effect of reducing housing affordability in LA. Go ahead.
Well, the greenhouse gas, you're adding 200.
I don't know who I have.
She is now a board member of the Van Nuys Neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay.
She was elected to the
I'm sorry. We, you know,
I'm Maddie.
Maddie. Oh, he had a hat on when I
was like, Maddie, I'm a pragmatist. I'm a lawyer. So you're saying none of this really matters.
I think dialogue matters.
It's just within the parameter of today's law.
My problem is the parking. I left at 5:30 from here. Four cars double parked to take my one parking spot. And, you know, they may be able to do what we all know is happening is that's too far for public transportation. I'm living in Oakland right now, and I'm coming back and forth and commuting with my partner until we're deciding where we're at. I know what public transportation is. Everybody does it. I'm in a place where they're building all kinds of public housing that's beautifully done. You're too far. I mean, to go a mile and a half to catch the orange line, it may not be, but that's not what people do. And I represent nothing but poor people and what they take and what they don't take. I was in the juvenile court in Sylmar where people are entering. I mean, I've been a poverty law advocate while in law school. So if there's not going to be any good or anything that matters and the parking is stuck with what it is, there's not enough parking there for the people. I'd like these families to be able to have people to visit. They won't, none of the families that you have where you're at will be able to visit because there will be no parking. And I think there's this disconnect regarding what's happening with it. But if you've already approved it, you know.
We're advisory as far as, you know, the sign. We're bringing this to the table because if it wasn't to outreach you guys, you wouldn't have no voice. And
Rogelio, let me just ask one quick question. And I know this is a major redesign because I've been a designer for 100 years. And if you did go to subterranean parking, you would be you wouldn't need any variance at all. You'd have your height restriction at 45 feet. That wouldn't be an issue here. If you gave up some of the apartments, you'd have guest parking on the premises, which doesn't mitigate anything, but it's a bone. I mean, it really is.
To bring it up as well, you know, I think, you know, oftentimes we actually looked at very hard, because I went back to my boss and our architect to see if we could add some additional parking. And, I mean, we have it parked right now to the max in terms of the number of spaces. We actually lost four or five spaces of tenant parking that we had initially planned to have because we were asked to the put the bike room, put the bike spaces. So I understand that. I know guest parking is terrible on the streets. It's probably not going to get any better. But to your point, on the subterranean parking, you know, is it doable? Sure, a lot of things are doable. It may be potentially cost prohibitive. I don't know.
It could be.
We'd have to look at it.
Sorry to cut you off. With regard to that, we have new retrofit requirements and subterranean earthquake. We have a resiliency code coming up. I don't know if it's passed or not. I'm just giving everyone point of information.
It's on the table. That's for sure.
Earthquake retrofit might prohibit what they can do as well.
So we just try to keep it. We just try to keep most of our buildings at grade because it does get really, really expensive once you start going semi.
Yeah, you're exporting dirt.
Can I say
something? Okay, Lynn.
What about going to the condo? 60, that'd be 20 less units, less cars, less people. Condos are more home people like they are. Tenants, they come and they go by me. I mean, they bring friends. You know, there's less of a observing there, less noise. What about going to 60 condos that you say you have in the project there?
Well, we have it approved, but as sort of a business model, we focus mostly on multi. Obviously, if we're able to do the more units, we're able to do two things. One, get the very low income units that are recorded with a covenant for 30 years, so those are protected and preserved. I think LA is notorious for being one of the in addition to being park poor generally in certain parts of the city, it also has the least amount of affordability.
But you already have the 60 in works there. Instead of you going to walk in the street and start with 60, you have it there. Why not go to that direction?
Well, also, SB 375 has an affordable housing component. And someone said that Section 8 had been disabled on that street. So there's I don't have the specifics. I'm sorry, I didn't come prepared.
It won't be Section 8.
No, I know that. No. What I'm saying is
there is
that
there's Section 8 on this.
I think
he's
it was removed.
There is.
Oh, well,
okay.
Then that
can we get?
Yes. I understand that. You know, you are only here. Basically out of the kindness of your heart, because it's already been approved and you can start building tomorrow, correct?
Well, I mean, we're going through our site plan review, and they've opined on sort of, the design and the layout, and they're giving us the feedback, but, I mean, you know, nothing's done. But in terms of the density bonus, that is by right. I mean, that's...
Well, right. Well, what we're hoping, and we've already collected just from our group of people, 103 signatures from the neighbors. We started a petition. I know that Dan also is getting signatures from all of his tenants.
I got 36 this afternoon.
Okay, and it's growing. And a lot of the people that I approached last night, I approached people who were actually in that building just behind, the one that's in between the Woodman and corner and the lot. And I understand that they were approached, to sell the building. That Mr. Evingham wanted to purchase that building. So they're not happy with it. I'm just letting you know. All I want to say is that if there's some way that we can come to, if Mr. Evingham is open to our concerns, because just by the fact of all the signatures that we're getting from the surrounding neighbors. It's going to be more than apparent that parking is the biggest nightmare
right.
of all. That
you know what would be, and I appreciate your candidness. What would be helpful is maybe, could I get the the contact info of a lot of a lot of you that live there,
and
so I can stay in touch with you. We can have dialogue.
I already spoke with him because I was helping on the property on the other side. The vacant lot, I rescued and removed 77 cats and kittens.
Oh, that place?
Next door.
Yeah.
Wilkinson's, and I...
Do they not take care of the...
There's mental illness there. They lost the ability to insure that property years ago. So the mentally ill daughter was living in one of the downstairs two bedrooms. All the others were vacant.
So you kind of got run down.
But the cats and kittens were urinating and defecating all over the neighborhood. So, I've helped with that. It's better. But, just to show you that I'm just an example, one of the many types of people that are willing to work. And we just wanted to be reasonable, hoping that Mr. Evingham would be, or okay. I'm saying his name wrong, Evingham.
Evingham, yeah. And so I'm trying to get what the, because, you know, from, in terms of what we can build now versus what, you know, what's proposed with the density bonus, it's really, it's still four stories. It's would, you know, unless we don't, if we go subterranean, then it'll be at the height limit, so we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't need that density bonus incentive for the height, for the 5 feet. But it's four stories, and it's, you know, slightly bigger than what's around. So I'm at, is the issue the parking?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The desire to have more guest parking?
Yeah.
And can I say something, since I've been listening to you guys? Because there's always a way and a will to change it, because you could always change the units in a way that you could eliminate the parking.
Our concern with that is from, and, you know, as property owners, you'll appreciate that, mm-hmm. the marketability of a bit. We actually want to provide a little bit more parking.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost, I think, five or six parking spaces that we had dedicated to guests. So mm-hmm. one, from a marketability standpoint, if you're already giving
parking.
Although we're giving most of the two bedrooms two parking spaces, but we don't want to go down any more parking spaces.
Mm.
So
you want to keep the parking spaces.
We want
spaces.
To keep what's there. Yeah. We would like to, you know, potentially augment it if we could, but we can't take out the bike parking that we have
no.
there.
Well, the only thing is maybe the reduction of units, and that has to somehow, you know, like, because how many bedrooms on the affordable housing? I mean, which one? Is it one bedroom or two bedrooms?
Seven very low income, and it's the breakdown's 2 1 bedrooms, 4 2 bedrooms, 1 3 bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but those must need a 3-bedroom apartment is going to need 4 or 5 parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
not if they're millennial. Millennials don't drive. Depends on the
you can't get out of our neighborhood without driving.
And also another thing to consider is we're losing more parking spaces just by the mere fact that we're going to be putting in a driveway on that side, on the Leadwell and the Valerio side, and that, you know.
Yeah. Well, have you thought about having, like, working with the city to get a
restricted
parking? Yeah, permit parking only.
Permit parking.
They won't do it for us.
Well, excuse me, but you hit the point. That's why we're all here.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of in shock from 22 units to 86 units. It just overwhelms us.
Well, it's not.
I don't
feel
like that. Nobody else has built like that in all these years.
Yeah, and that's coming. That's really coming to a head, and I'm letting you guys know it's not gonna happen in your neighborhood. So it's just gonna happen in every single neighborhood. Please.
Okay, then I'm next,
because I'm going to... Okay, I'm sorry, Donna. You have to respect the board.
Because all these people...
I know, I understand that, but please respect the board, okay? Because you're losing my train of thought. I'm sorry.
You're talking about the change in how many units were being built?
Yeah, because, it's coming ahead as far as, you know, the development toward Van Nuys, because right now they're being talked about having a mass transit along Van Nuys Boulevard, which runs from
at least the orange line.
Well, no, yeah.
No, from the train.
Yeah, from the orange line to up north to
Sylmar.
Yeah, up to San Fernando Road, and that would increase hopefully the rideability of people if they choose to make it light rail. So I mean, it is about a mile away from it. Yeah, but it also says that, you know, we're moving in a direction that we're gonna have to make tough choices of maybe not owning a car, because owning a car has repercussions of, you know, of well, and that's I know,
gasoline,
and I understand.
It's cost
understand
prohibitive to own a car at some point.
Yeah.
this is LA, you know.
Yeah.
This is LA.
Okay. Okay.
But like I was saying, cap and trade is only going to pick up. Cap and AB 32 was passed in 2006, but it went online in 2013. So $130 million was just the pilot. For this year, they're allocating $200 to $400
million.
Because the goal of our state is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. That is the overriding priority in a cap and trade state. And included in that is a specific law that specifies land use has to comport to reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, and the reduction of autocentricity is within our smart growth. If you go to the Smart Growth Council, you can find out exactly what I'm talking about and look up SB 375 as a matter of information. I just wanted to give you the signpost of what to look. I'm not telling you which way, but it is the law. SB 375 has been on the books since 2008, and AB 32 since 2006. And we have a Supreme Court case right now determining what our greenhouse gas emission targets will be for 2050, but for 2020 we're set, and those are the laws of the land. Yeah. And I'm not trying to ruin anybody's day, ruin your day.
No.
As point of information, that is the goal of California.
Okay, okay. Let me get Donna.
Okay,
this
good.
Person in
okay.
this.
Okay,
I'll
5 years
just,
away.
I'll just be done. Okay, now, another thing that we got to worry about when they're doing all this parking is it's going to increase a lot of traffic, especially along this Valerio, which is a very good area for people who want to go through quickly. I'm really worried that this is going to put tons of traffic all over Valerio,
right.
And for people who are disabled, that's going to be very, you know, difficult. So we have to think about the traffic along that way. And for people who ride the buses, Woodman is a terrible bus, so a lot of people are not going to get out of their cars to take a bus, Woodman bus, that once an hour. So the Orange Line might be great, but the Woodman, if you want to really go along Woodman, most people are going to be in cars. So that's all I want to say is I'm really concerned about the traffic that this is going to cause, and if it's really going to crowd up Ledwell, whether it's really going to cloud up Valerio and make it hard for the people who are driving. Thank you very much.
Okay, this gentleman right here.
Generational thing. And I mean, our generation, which was automobile centric, is a group of dinosaurs at this point in time. And we're moving so far away from that paradigm into a paradigm of mass transit, of public transit.
We don't have mass transit.
We don't have it now. But
there's a lot of talk.
Gone. I mean, literally, we are.
Howard, you kind of interrupt this gentleman right here.
Okay. Have you explored the option of possibly making the ground floor units live work so people would actually be able to live there and work there so that less traffic?
That's a different zone. If you
can't
put
do
that.
It in a different part
of it, that would get rid of all of our parking. I mean,
you wouldn't need parking. Live work doesn't require more parking.
No, but we wouldn't be able to park the rest of the building.
21st century.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody?
Yeah. I just need a little clarification.
Sure.
Because I was listening to what you're saying earlier. You said, you know, how we have the variance to 56 feet. You're only going to build to 51. Is that the height of the building or all of the structures on top of the building, i.e., mechanicals, AC, and whatnot?
It's so we asked for 56, which was the most we could ask for, just to be safe. The last thing we want is to have the building be 51 and a half, and we realize it's 52, and then we have to ask for a variance, which, you know, would take a long time and cost a lot of money. So, to answer your question, the top of the building will be 51, including everything. So the 51 point.
Does that include any air conditioning units, any water support?
Yeah. The mass of the structure, I think, is what they measure the building safety measures it at. At whatever your
is it the highest
structure? So you're saying the height of the structure then is going to be 40
the highest
something
point or
because
something.
You're going to have an air conditioning unit on top of there.
The parapet, like I think the parapet, like it might be a foot or two above the actual
roof surface,
and that's not calculated into it. So let's say 95% or 90% of the building is at the 50, you know, 48 or so feet, and then there's a couple sections of it that are a little bit higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just to understand the answer is yes, the 51 feet includes all mechanical machines on top.
I believe so.
I mean, and I'm talking 51, 52 feet.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, you know, the
I
so
believe my,
because
that's
we're,
my understanding.
We're thinking 51 feet, but then you're going to put air conditioning on top, and there's another 10
54
feet.
But I also want to interject as far.
I will get back to you on that. Just
also want to interject because I think there is a like a roof access that's sort of somewhat angled. Is that
Say
that
again.
There's a stairway that leads up to the roof, sort of on the elevation.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the elevation again, but and I'll get back to you on that question.
Okay.
I should know that.
I was trying to understand why you were mentioning that, and that must be the environmental mitigating measures that they're having to take the city listed to come in compliance, because that's why you said you lost 4-5 spaces, because you're having to do all these mitigating
the
measures.
The bike parking.
It's bike parking.
No, it's not mitigation. It's just where if we lost those parking spaces to incorporate and accommodate the bike parking space. So,
okay.
For example, had we moved forward with just the 61 unit project, the condo, which you could still do as apartments, because it was approved prior to the bike ordinance passing 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we would not have had to include the bike parking.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
right. Well,
we're required.
You would already be building because you'd be within the zone, and you wouldn't have any variances and all these other things.
Well, we are within the zone. The R3 lets us do
with the variance that you're getting with the 30%, because the city even said that you're going over in terms of environmental pollution, water usage, air pollution, noise pollution, and you're having to make all these mitigating measures to accommodate that.
Right.
And that's because of the increased density of the area. If you built the 61 units, you'd probably
have mitigation measures.
You would, but you'd already not to this level. And you're probably already building right now. Is what's going on with that. I just want to say this petition that she's talking about. What she forgot to mention is, I mean, we did that in 24 hours. We literally printed them and
mm-hmm.
went out yesterday evening and walked around the neighborhood. That's how we're getting people are just because no one is aware of.
No, and I understand
right?
that, and I think.
Took photos too, and. Mine are less narrowed on the parking on Woodman when it's 3-6
mm-hmm.
and there's no parking there. So
yeah.
I did take a picture of that sign just because.
Yeah, because there's an anti gridlock.
Yes.
On Woodman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's restricted parking on Woodman, so we lose all of that. But also, I went down to Wyandotte, and in these photos, you would see that the streets are packed. There is no parking, and where it looks like, and also at night, I went around, which is very pleasant. I mean, you can walk around our neighborhood at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how nice it is there. And likewise, the only open spaces are people's driveways. But interestingly, he was talking about this three-story building here. That's the one. Oops,
oh, the
corner, right?
It's the Section 8?
This is, I'm right now I'm looking east. So here's the
mm-hmm.
three-corner building. His building would be over here. Then across the street is a two-story apartment building. Behind it is two-story. And also down the street are residential, which is what he has. I mean,
mm-hmm.
is across the street on Leadwell. Those are all residences.
Yeah.
So... yes, there are two buildings in the area that are three stories. Across the street from Woodman, those are all two-story. This thing is going to dwarf the
yeah.
neighborhood.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
It's not really. It doesn't feel. And what we would like. I don't want an empty lot. I want something there. But
right.
I want it to join the neighborhood, not become its own separate entity.
Power.
That doesn't look like it blends in. I mean, I'm looking at all the different structures. They all have a certain style of the Western feel. Dan had pictures of all his houses around. Some of the
no,
certain
I,
feel.
It's a bungalow style.
Feel.
Yeah.
Like somebody
yeah.
did not even look at anything in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, look,
as point of information, just listening to the interaction that's happening. It's happening all around the city. And just so you know, I've been displaced multiple places over the last 8 or 9 years. I want to give you as point of information. I'm not advocating for this particular neighborhood council or anything, but Westchester Neighborhood Council has a project on the Inglewood border, and they're facing the same issues. And it might be very beneficial for your groups, for you guys, for you guys, to connect and see, because they're tweaking and they're making changes to ordinances based on this project after what's happened in Playa, what's happened in Venice, what's happened in Palms, you know, on the west side,
well,
and what's happened in...
I would like, which is just right, we want to work together.
Right.
I don't want an empty
right.
lot.
And
I want
to get updated information
but,
so that
yeah.
when you're working together...
I'm hearing a little better than what I heard last week, because I'm hearing a little bit of, there is some thought of maybe it would be better to be part of the neighborhood. They will sell better if they're part of the neighborhood. Otherwise, you'll run into what the local
yeah.
landlords are saying.
Right.
These people
move and,
out.
Well,
and,
could I need 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
Could I maybe just...
sure.
So people
sure.
Can
okay. Sure. And I.
Okay.
And we talked prior to meeting, and I know that your statement is that you want this is an investment to the community.
You know, it is. I mean, we
yeah.
It, you know,
and
it's not easy to you know sometimes. And, you know, frankly, it doesn't benefit anybody's property values or the safety if you have a big vacant, you know, this is almost 2.5, maybe acres, 3, mm-hmm. to have that vacant there, you know, because you deal sometimes with issues with crime and graffiti and just, you know, it looks blighted. So that's never a good thing. But, you know, we've been building in the valley for about 20, 25 years. We take pride in the projects we do. You know, to answer your question in terms of the building design or sort of the way it's sort of the elevation looks, yeah, it's a little bit modern. A lot of the materials that we're incorporating are actually energy efficient materials and elements that we're actually required to incorporate. Now, you know, if somebody doesn't like the color of something or, you know, doesn't blend as much, you know, I got to take that back to my boss and see if we can maybe adjust it. But a lot of the materials we're actually told, use this type of material, use this type of paint to make the building more energy efficient. And in fact, there's a good article that I read that from 1980 till now, the energy per household use in multifamily buildings has decreased by 38% in that time, more so than single family and others, because there's been a movement to make the buildings more energy efficient. I actually have the article here if you want it.
Is your building LEED?
It's not LEED, but it does have a lot of...
It has other credentials.
Okay. Yeah,
because I didn't think of the credential. I guess what I should have said is, do you have environmental credentials? Is it built to environmental standard?
It has to be now. I mean, especially new construction, we're asked to do a lot of things over and above what we've done before. So it is a quasi-green building.
Yeah. So,
By the way, we're required to have SUSUM planters. So those are all our, you know, filtration systems. Mm-hmm. So whenever it rains, it leads into our giant planters that are around the 5 courtyards of the building. So
so it gets in the aquifer. Yeah.
Well, you're retaining the water, you're filtering it, and it's actually taking care of, you know, the plants you have on site. So it does have a lot of environmental.
So it doesn't go to the street and into the wash.
We have a water management ordinance too. I don't know if it's an ordinance, but we do have water management and flood management.
Environmental system.
So I you know, if we can maybe pass that sheet around, you know, okay.
I want to say a comment, and no one will say it, so you can just read it. It's about color.